Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through God's Word. And as always, it is a great word this morning. You know, on Friday, we stayed with our normal routine. We didn't do our New Testament, Old Testament. We did both. But today we're going to go Old Testament, and then on tomorrow we will be New Testament. So this is what would have been Saturday, Sunday. So we're doing Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Old Testament word, and then on Monday we will do Saturday, Sunday, Monday, New Testament word. So let's get into the word this morning. It's a lot of word to go over, and it's a lot to unpack in today's lesson. The first is, let's thank God this morning for your do-over. Lord God, we thank you for waking us up this morning. We thank you for the opportunity for a do-over, God. We thank you for just being who you are, great and mighty, loving and kind. Good God, you are a great, great Father. That's just who you are, God. And we want to thank you this morning for this word that is going forth, Lord God. Let this word touch hearts, touch minds, and touch spirits. So those that hear it will ask, what must I do to be saved? For Lord God, we are all striving to get to that mark. We are all striving to make it through the narrow gate. We're all striving to be better today than we were yesterday. Father God, whatever you ask us to do in your name, we must do it. Just as what you said you will do for us, you will do it. So, Father God, we thank you. We praise you. We give you honor and glory. And, Lord, as I get ready to go into this word this morning, I ask for traveling grace for my pastor. As she travels sideways and byways, coming home from being there for her family, Lord God, for giving the eulogy at her cousin's funeral, being there for the second time in less than 3 months, where a brother died and now a sister died, her cousins, oh God. I ask you to give her family strength. They have lost two loved ones within in less than 3 months, God. But we know, Lord, that you are in charge and that all things are working for the family's good. And we thank you for Pastor Jesse, Lord God, and ask you to keep her covered from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet, Lord God. And I ask all of those that are listening to keep my pastor lifted up, as she also lost her husband at the beginning of this year in February, Lord, just before his birthday, Lord, he passed on. But we know, God, that you are in charge and that our pastor Paul is in a better place. So, Father God, give my pastor strength, covered under the blood. And, Lord God, I ask you to watch over all those that listen in, Lord. I ask you, I looked up this morning, Lord God, those that I contact, I ask you, Lord, to lift up the Bowie family, to lift up, Lord God, Mother Rita, oh God, to lift up, oh God, and take care of and covering your loving arms, Mother Valerie, take care of my mother, Evelyn. Lord God, you know all of those awesome women that need you, God. I ask you to watch over evangelists, the evangelists that are working on this show, as well as evangelists that are out in the highways and the byways spreading the gospel. Lord God, cover evangelist Sandra Shannon. Cover evangelist Teresa Green, Lord God, as they evangelize and as They watch over children and grandchildren and the children of the church, God. Ask you to keep them covered. Give them strength, oh God. For you know each and every one of their needs, Lord God. I've asked you, Father God, as you watch over my family, over the families of listeners, oh God, extended families, families that are close, brothers and sisters adopted in God, and God's brothers and sisters and family members, children of God. Watch over all my children, Lord. You know who each and every one is. And Father, I ask you to continue. Bless Sister Carolyn as she brings us a word every day, a word that is inspired by you to lift us up and never tear us down, to make us think and to know that there is an opportunity for better, oh God. We ask you to watch over us. Keep her covered, oh God. Watch over the children today as they go forth in ministry, Lord God. Keep them covered, God, that each child will come and do their part. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, I ask you to increase as I decrease. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. Again, in the name of the Nazareth Savior, for you are my strength, and there is no other but you, God. And I lift this word up to you, asking you, Lord God, to take it forward. Hide me in your wings. As you move forward in this word, God, give me what to say. And, Lord God, if I shouldn't say it, keep my tongue behind my teeth. In Jesus' name, amen. Whatever God has for me to say, I will say, and whatever else comes out, and it's not of God, I ask him to keep it behind my teeth, which is what we all should do when we want to say, keep it real. Be careful what you keep real, because real has a real big tendency to come back on you. Remember that. Whatever you're trying to keep real, understand. Real is a double-edged sword. So let's keep it going. And today we're going to talk about Jephthah, the Gileadite. He was a child born on the wrong side of the blanket, as the old folks used to say. Well, you know, he ain't, you know, that ain't Susan's son, honey. Yeah, you know that's that, honey. You know who is the sister made that baby with that, you know, that girl down the street. As you know, we don't know, again, mama's baby, daddy's maybe her, you know how folks can be. But we understand that in this case, he was a Gileadite. He was the son of Gilead, even though he was not born on the right side of the blanket, as they want to call it, claim it and say it. He was an outside child, and he had some brothers that were envious and not so nice. So let's see what the story tells and understand this man had one child. See what happens. Join me as we move forward in the word of God. And again, it is what? It is a great word. It's this Judges chapter 11. And we'll be reading chapter 11 through Judges chapter 16. And it says this, now Japheth, the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor, but he was the son of a harlot. And Gilead begot Japheth. Gilead's wife bore sons, and when his wife's sons grew up, they drove Japheth out and said to him, you shall have no inheritance of our father's house, but you are the son of another woman. Then Japheth fled from his brothers and dwelt in the land of Tob, and worthless men banded together with Japheth and went out raiding with him. It came to pass after a time that the people of Ammon made war against Israel, and so it was, when the people of Ammon made war against Israel, that the elders of Gilead went to get Japheth from the land of Tob, Then they said to Japheth, come and be our commander that we may fight against the people of Ammon. So Japheth said to the elders of Gilead, did you not hate me and expel me from my father's house? Why have you come to me now when you are in distress? And the elders of Gilead said to Japheth, that is why we have turned again to you now, that you may go with us and fight against the people of Ammon and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. So Japheth said to the elders of Gilead, if you take me back home to fight against the people of Ammon and the Lord delivers them to me, shall I be your head? And the elders of Gilead said to Japheth, the Lord will be a witness between us if we do not do according to your words. Then Japheth went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and commander over them. And Japheth spoke all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. And we know that Mizpah also, if we go back to Genesis chapter, I believe, 31, verse 49, which is what we say every day, may the Lord watch between me and thee. And that is a pledge. It is a vow that it was made by Moses with his father-in-law. No, that's not right. By Jacob and his father-in-law. And I want to make sure I get my stuff right. I think I might be gave you the wrong word here. But the bottom line is, go back to this word. I want to make sure I'm telling the truth in my scripture too. We want to make sure that we tell it right. But Mizpah is a very important place in the Bible as far as witnesses for God. You know, when we say the Lord watch between me and thee, when while we're absent one from each other, it is a vow. It is a witness that is a witness for us with God and to God. And we want to make sure that whenever you do anything or say anything, we got to do it right, and we got to be right and righteous when we say it and do it. You know, we want to make sure that whatever we say before God as a vow, that we keep it. And that we never fall from it. You know, it was a given, Mizpah 31:49 of Genesis. And that's what we say every day. I want to make sure I had the right word. I believe I did, but I want to make sure. And that is Genesis 31:49. If you want to know where I get the prayer that I pray every day over you, and it's from the Mizpah prayer. And it says this also, Mizpah, because he said, may the Lord watch between you and me, sent one from another. If you afflict my daughters, or if you take otherwise beside my daughters, although no man is with us, see, God is witness between you and me. And that's what Mizpah is. God is witness between me and you. God sees everything. God knows everything. God knows our good. God knows our bad. God knows our always ugly sometimes. Because y'all know we can all go there. So Japheth had to deal with his brothers who had treated him horribly. And now, because we need you, here we come. But we're making a vow at Mizpah, which is a very important place. Again, it's a place where God is witness to whatever you do. And so this is what they said one more time. Japheth spoke to all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. Now Japheth sent messengers to the king of the people of Ammon, saying, what do you have against me that you have come to fight against me in my land? And the king of the people of Ammon answered, the messengers of Japheth, because Israel took away my land when they came up out of Egypt from the Arnon as far as Sabaoth, and to the Jordan. Now, therefore, restore those lands peaceably. So Japheth again sent messengers to the king of the people of Ammon and said to him, thus says Japheth, Israel did not take away the land of Moab, nor the land of the people of Ammon. But when Israel came up from Egypt, they walked through the wilderness as far as the Red Sea and came to Kadesh. Then Israel sent messengers to the king of Edom, saying, please let me pass through your land. But the king of Edom would not heed, and in like manner they sent to the king of Moab, but he would not consent. So Israel remained in Kadesh, and they went along through the wilderness and bypassed the land of Edom and the land of Moab, came to the east side of the land of Moab and of the Arnon. But they did not enter the border of Moab, for the Arnon was the border of Moab. Then Israel sent messengers to Sihon, king of the Amorites, king of Hashbon. Israel said to him, please let us pass through your land into our place. But Sihon did not trust Israel to pass through his territory. So Sihon gathered all his people together and camped in Jahaz and fought against Israel. And the Lord God of Israel delivered Sihon and all his people into the hand of Israel, and they defeated them. Thus Israel gained possession of all the land of the Amorites who inhabited that country. They took possession of all the territory of the Amorites from Arnon to the Jabbok, from the wilderness to the Jordan. And now the Lord God of Israel has dispossessed the Amorites from before his people Israel. Should you then possess it? Will you not possess whatever Chemosh, your God, gives you to possess? So whatever the Lord our God takes possession of before us, we will possess. In other words, we talked to y'all. We tried to do it right. Y'all didn't want to. We took it. It's ours. Keep it moving. Let's keep going. And it says this. Now, y'all go back to your little G. See, if he can do what our big G can. Come on now. It says, and now, are you any better than Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab? Did he ever strive against Israel? Did he ever fight against them? While Israel dwelt in Heshbon and its villages, in Ur and its villages, and in all the cities along the banks of Arnon for 300 years, why did you not recover them within that time? Oh, wow, bam. They had over 300 years to take back their stuff. But it wasn't until they stopped anymore. When you give something away, when something is taken, it's no longer yours. It belongs to whoever took it, because they was obviously stronger than you. Now, we're talking 300 years here. Therefore, I have not sinned against you, but you wronged me by fighting against me. May the Lord, the judge, render judgment this day between the children of Israel and the people of Ammon. However, the king of the people of Ammon did not heed the words which Japheth sent him. Fear of the Lord came upon Japheth, and he passed through Gilead and Manasseh, and passed through Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah to Gilead, he advanced toward the people of Ammon, and Japheth made a vow to the Lord and said, if you will indeed deliver the people of Ammon into my hand, then it will be that whatever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the people of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up as a burnt offering. Be careful what you vow. You'll understand this in a minute, but I say this to all. Be careful what you vow. Be careful what you vow, because God is going to get what you vow. If I vow, Lord, I vow to do such and such and such, and I don't do it, then the damnation is on me. The curse is on me. Because understand, when you don't do what God does is to do, or you vow that you're going to do, then be careful. Because God will get his due. And so as we continue, it says, so Japheth advanced toward the people of Ammon to fight against them. And the Lord delivered them into his hands, and he defeated them from all as far as Minnith, 20 cities, and Abel Keramim with a very great slaughter. Thus the people of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. When Japheth came to his house in Mizpah, there was his daughter, coming out to meet him with tambourines and dancing, and she was his only child. Besides her, he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass, when he saw her, that he tore his clothes and said, "Alas, my daughter, you have brought me very low. You are among those who trouble me, for I have given my word to the Lord, and I cannot go back on it." So she said to him, "My father, if you have given your word to the Lord, do to me according to what has gone out of your mouth, because the Lord has avenged you of your enemy, the people of Ammon." Then she said to her father, "Let this thing be done for me. Let me alone for 2 months, that I may go and wander on the mountains and bewail my virginity, my friends and I." So he said, "Go," and he sent her away for 2 months. And she went with her friends, and bewailed her virginity on the mountains. And it was so, at the end of the 2 months, that she returned to her father. And he carried out his vow, with which he had vowed she knew no man. And it became a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went forth 4 days each year to lament the daughter of Japheth, the Gileadite. Wow, I just got tears in my eyes, and I thought about my own children. How would we feel if we had to give up our sons or our daughters because of a vow we made to God? But then when we go and put it in perspective, God made a vow to us and gave up his son for our sins. Well, my God, and so, Japheth did not know that that vow would take a turn, did not understand that he would have to give up his child for Israel, but he did, and she gladly went to her death for God. And as we continue, chapter 12, of the book of Judges. Then the men of Ephraim gathered together, crossed over toward Zaphon, and said to Japheth, "Why did you cross over to fight against the people of Ammon and did not call us to go with you? We will burn your house down on you with fire." And your eyes go, "Oh, my job, family. Let's keep it moving." And Japheth said to them, "My people and I were in a great struggle with the people of Ammon. And when I called you, you did not deliver me out of their hands. So when I saw that you would not deliver me, I took my life in my hands, crossed over against the people of Ammon, and the Lord delivered them into my hands. Why then have you come up to me this day to fight against me?" Now Japheth gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought against Ephraim. And the men of Gilead defeated Ephraim because they said, "You Gileadites are fugitives of Ephraim among the Ephraimites and among the Manassites." The Gileadites seized the fords of the Jordan before the Ephraimites arrived. And when the Ephraimites who escaped said, "Let me cross over," the men of Gilead would say to him, "Are you an Ephraimite?" If you said no, then they would say to him, Shabboleth. And this is, I'm going to just tell y'all now, this is one of those things that are on your test in college. This is the thing that's on your Bible trivia, because it is one of those obscure scriptures that most people kind of skip over, that they miss it. It's like this doggone word, Shabboleth, is a pain when it comes to biblical testing. And you have to remember this. So I'm saying it again, so that when it comes to that Bible trivia, when you're in that trivia class, or when you are you're in class or you're in trivia, you will remember Shabbalah is a word that the Ephraimites cannot say. And he said Shabbalah. Excuse me. But he could not pronounce it right. Then they would take him and kill him at the ford of the Jordan. There fell at that time 42,000 Ephraimites. And Japheth judged Israel 6 years. Then Japheth the Gileadite died and was buried among the cities of Gilead. And after Abdan of Bethlehem judged Israel, he had 30 sons, and he gave away $30 in marriage and brought in $30 from elsewhere for his sons. He judged Israel 7 years. Then Abazan died and was buried in Bethlehem. After him, Elon, the Zebulunite, judged Israel. He judged Israel 2 years. And Elon, the Zebulunite, died and was buried at Ajalon to the country of Zebulun. After him, Abdon, the son of Hiel, the Tirathonite, judged Israel. He had 40 sons and 30 grandsons who rode on 70 young donkeys. He judged Israel 8 years. Then Abdon, the son of Hiel, of the Pirathonite, died and was buried in Pirathon in the land of Ephraim in the mountains of the Amalekites. Whew, that's a long word, but remember that. What is that? Are you supposed to remember? Shabbalah. And say it right so you don't lose your life. And it says this. Whatever the Lord our God takes possession of before us, we will possess. Judges 11 and 24. It's quite a statement. We will possess whatever the Lord possesses for us. Can you make the same statement of faith? Are you possessing every spiritual blessing that God has gone ahead of you to possess for you? Are you? Think something to think about. Again, another life lesson to think about is coming from Judges 12 and 3. I took my life in my hands and crossed over against the people of Ammon, and the Lord delivered them into my hands. When in faith and obedience we take our life in our hands to do what God has called us to do, he does for us what he cannot do for ourselves. He does for us what we cannot do, care of our needs when we obey him. And I can attest to that. My hand is lifted high that God takes care of our needs. All we have to do is trust in him and believe in him. And understand that when you make vows, you got to keep them. Japheth made a horrible vow. Yes, he did. But think about this. His daughter has not been forgotten these thousands of years. She's still in the word. She still is celebrated in Israel for 4 days. Japheth has never been forgotten because of his sacrifice. Father God has never been forgotten because of his sacrifice. He gave us his son who died for us so that we can have an opportunity for eternal life. Thank you, God, for your sacrifice and your love toward your children. Now we're getting into Judges, and we're going to start talking about Samson. Oh, my. A whole story, a whole book. We could have about 2 or 3 days on Samson. As they say, that's a message and a message and a message and a message. We could all preach Samson for a few Sundays. He's not a one Sunday word, I'll tell you that, going on. But we go back to talk about his parents. You know, folks can go through, but God comes through. And let's go here, because God won't bring you to it unless he's going to bring you through it. And I just don't believe that God wants us to be without children, whether they're adopted children, whether they are biological children. I believe that if children are the desire of your heart, God will open doors for you to be a mom in some respect. Whether it's a godmother or a biological mother, God will open that door. I thank God every day for my blessing of my children. And it says this, chapter 13 through 14 of Judges. After the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. There's that 40 years a year. Now there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, indeed now, you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. So the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God, very awesome. But I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. And he said to me, behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine, nor similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God, from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, oh, my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child you who will be born. He had not one doubt that his wife was telling the truth. He had not one doubt that he would have a son. This man had faith. He had faith. And God listened to the voice of Manoah. And the angel of God came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field. But Manoah's husband was not with her. Then the woman ran in haste and told her husband and said to him, look, the man who came to me the other day has just now appeared to me. So Manoah arose and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said to him, are you the man who spoke to this woman? And he said, I am. And y'all understand that, right? Y'all got that, right? I am. Y'all know who I am is. Hallelujah. God in the flesh. And we know God in the flesh is Jesus. Hallelujah. Whew, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Manoah said, now let your words come to pass. What will be the boy's rule of life and his work? So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor may she drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I commanded, let her observe. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, please let us detain you, and we will prepare a young goat for you. And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, so you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord. But Manoah did not know he was the angel of the Lord. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, what is your name? Ooh, hallelujah. I love it. That I may honor you. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask my name? Seeing it is wonderful. So Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it upon the rock to the Lord. And he said a wondrous thing while Manoah and his wife looked on. It happened as the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their face to the ground. When the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife, then Manoah knew that it was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen God. Y'all caught that, right? Woo, Jesus, thank you. But his wife said to him, if the Lord had desired to kill her, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from her hand, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things as these at this time. So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Mahana, then between Zoar and Eshtaol. Ooh, what a word. Chapter 14 of Genesis. Now Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me as a wife. Then his father and mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your brothers, among all my people, that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. Can we say somebody is just a little bit spoiled? But his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord that he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. So Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came to the vineyards of Timnah. Now to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. After some time, when he had returned to get her, he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the carcass of the lion. He took some of it in his hand and went along eating. When he came to his father and mother, he gave some to them, and they ate, but he did not tell them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion, because that is unclean. We understand that. That is a word given by God way back about clean and unclean. So he had given his parents unclean food to eat. So his father went down to the woman, and Samson gave a feast there for young men and youths to do so. And it happened, when they saw him, that they brought 30 companions to be with him. Then Samson said to them, let me pose a riddle to you. If you can correctly solve and explain to me within the 7 days of the feast, then I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing. But if you cannot explain it to me, then you shall give me 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing. And they said to him, pose your riddle, that we may hear it. So he said to them, out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet. Now for 3 days they could not explain the riddle, but it came to pass on the seventh day that they said to Samson's wife, entice your husband, that he may explain the riddle to us, or else we will burn you and your father's house with fire. Have you invited us in order to take what is ours? Is that not so? Then Samson's wife, here we go, the wailing woman, wept on him and said, you only hate me. You do not love me. You have posed the riddle to the sons of my people, but you have not explained it to me. And he said, look, I have not explained it to my father or my mother, so should I explain it to you? He had wept. Oh, she cried. I'm sure she cried all over on him the 7 days while their feast lasted. And it happened on the seventh day that he told her, because she pressed him so much. I said, you don't love me. You don't love me. If you love me, you would tell me your secret. I just don't know. I'm not good enough for you. You know, you can hear all of that foolishness. because that's what it is. And that right there should have told him something. I should have said, this should have been a warning for future reference. Let's call it like that. And then it goes on to say, then she explained the riddle to the sons of the people. So the men of the city said to him on the seventh day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey and what is stronger than a lion? And he said to them, if you had not plowed with my effort, you would not have solved my riddle. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and he went down to Ashkelon and killed 30 of their men, took their apparel, and gave the changes of clothing to those who had explained the riddle. So his anger was aroused, and he went back up to his father's house. And Samson's wife was given to his companion, who had been his best man. Come on now, y'all. Come on. I know that's just wrong. Can y'all say that with me? That's just wrong. And we'll come back if time permits and get some life lessons from chapter 13 and 14. Let's get into chapter 15. Like I said, this is a great word this morning. After a while, in the time of wheat harvest, it happened that Samson visited his wife with a young goat, and he said, let me go in to my wife, into her room. But her father would not permit him to go in. Her father said, I really thought that you thoroughly hated her. Therefore, I gave her to your companion. If not, her younger sister better than she. Please take her instead. And Samson said to them, this time I shall be blameless regarding the Philistines if I harm them. Then Samson went and caught 300 foxes, and he took torches, turned the foxes' tail to tail, and put a torch between each pair of tails. When he had set the torches on fire, he let the foxes go into the standing grain of the Philistines and burned up both the shocks and the standing grain, as well as the vineyards and olive groves. Then the Philistines said, who has done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he has taken his wife and given her to his companion. So the Philistines came up and burned her and up with fire. And you think that through. If she had just been faithful to her husband, he would have protected her and her family. They would not have done anything. But because of her unfaithfulness, because of her father's unfaithfulness, she got burnt up just as they said they would do if she did not give them the riddle. Wow. Samson said to them, since you would do a thing like this, I will surely take revenge on you, and after that I will see. So he attacked him hip and thigh with a great spar, and then he went down and dwelt in the cliff of the rock of Ephraim. Now the Philistines went up encamped in Judah and deployed themselves against Lehi. And the men of Judah said, why have you come up against us? So they answered, we have come up to arrest Samson to do to him as he has done to us. Then 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cliff of the rock of Ephraim and said to Samson, do you not know that the Philistines rule over us? What is this you have done to us? And he said to them, as they did to me, so I have done to them. But they said to him, we have come down to arrest you, that we may deliver you into the hand of the Philistines. Then Samson said to them, swear to me that you will not kill me yourself. So they spoke to him, saying, no, but we will tie you securely and deliver you into the hand. But we will surely not kill you. And they bound him with two new ropes and brought him up from the rock. When he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting against him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the ropes that were on his hands became like flax, that it burned with fire, and his bonds broke loose from his hands. He found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, reached out his hand, 1,000 men with it. And Samson said, with the jawbone of a donkey, whoo, whoo, heap upon heap, with the jawbone of a donkey, I have slain 1,000 men. Not one, not two, but 1,000 he slain with that jawbone of a donkey. there was. When he had finished speaking, that he threw the jawbone from his hand and called that place Ramoth-Lehi. Then he became very thirsty, so he cried out to the Lord and said, "You have given this great deliverance by the hand of your servant, and now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised?" So God split the hollow place that is in Lehi, and water came out, and he drank, and his spirit returned, and he revived. Therefore, he called his name Enoch in Lehi to this day, and he judged Israel 20 years in the days of the Philistines. So he was a judge as well as a Nazarite. Now here we go again. Some folks do not understand that your little self cannot take your big self. He was not using his right mind, let's just put it that way, because he sure liked the wild kind of girl. You know, those girls that you don't take home to visit mom. I guess he said, "I did that once and I got messed over, so I ain't going to do it again. Good girls are not for me." So let's see what he does now. Now, Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went into her. When the Gazites were told Samson had come here, they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night and the gate of the city all night, saying, "In the morning, when it is daylight, we will kill him." And Samson lay low till midnight. Then he arose at midnight, took a hold of the doors of the gate of the city, and the two gateposts, pulled them up, bar and all, put them on his shoulders, and carried them to the top of the hill that faced Hebron. Afterwards it happened that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. I like to call her Delilah the Ragged. And the Lord of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, "Entice him and find out where his great strength lies, and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver." So Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me where your great strength lies, and what you may be bound to afflict you." And Samson said to her, "If they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dry, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." So the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, and she bound him with them. Now men were lying in wait, staying with her in the room. And she said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he broke the bowstrings as the strand of yarn breaks, and when it touched the fire. So the secret of his strength was not known. Now you would think, okay, now, use your brain, on your head, that God has given you. She asked you what was your strength, and then said the Philistines are coming. And then all of a sudden, she wants to know again what's your strength. Duh, bells and whistles should be going off. But again, some folks don't always think with their head on their shoulders. And as we continue, it says this. Then Delilah said to Samson, "Look, you have mocked me and told me lies. Now please tell me what you may be bound with." So he said to her, "If they bind me securely with new ropes that have never been used, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." Therefore Delilah took new ropes. Now understand, she's asking you what is the secret of your strength, and then she's binding you with what you said will take away your strength. Duh, can you get a reality check here, bro? Come on now. And it says, "Therefore Delilah took new ropes, bound them with them, and said to him, 'The Philistines are upon you, Samson,' and men were lying in wait, staying in the room." Now, you're not there by yourself. You can't see those other men in the room with y'all. But he broke them off his arms like a thread. Delilah said to Samson, "Until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me what you may be bound with." And he said to her, "If you weave the 7 locks of my head into the web of the loom. So she wove it tightly with the mantle of the loom and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he awoke from his sleep and pulled out the baton and the weave from the loom. Then she said to him, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these three times and have not told me where your great strength lies. And it came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death. Good. Can you say history repeating itself? Did you not learn from your wife, dude? Did you not learn in Timna when some woman is whining and crying about something that she don't need to know that you are being set up? Do you hear the words coming out of my mouth, Samson? It's what you want to say to him. It's like, dude, why are you acting like you are smashed up? Let's keep it going. Then Delilah saw that he had told her all. So let's go back and see what he told her. You know, because she done wept and cried and acted up. And it pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death. Then he told her all his heart and said to her, no razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the Lord of the Philistines, saying, come upon once more, for he has told me all his heart. So the Lord of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in her hand. Now, you know, she got a big cut. You saw that. She didn't get no little 30 pieces of silver, did she? That's not what they gave her. They gave her 1,100 pieces of silver a piece, which meant that it was probably more than one. 1,100 pieces of silver a piece. So girlfriend got some money. She became quite wealthy on being a deceptive, ratchet woman. And I call her what she was. Now let's keep it moving. It just came. And then she came and brought the money in her hand. Then she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he woke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes. You think about that. They put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after he had been shaven. Now the lords of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice, they said, our God has delivered into our hands Samson, our enemy. Then the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God has delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our land and the one who, so it happened when their hearts were married that they said, call for Samson, that he may perform for us. So they called for Samson from the prison, and he performed for them, and they stationed him between the pillars. Then Samson said to the lad who held him by the hand, let me feel the pillars. Let me feel the pillars which support the temple so that I can lean on them. Now, notice the baby didn't probably understand what was about to happen. Now, the temple was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there, about 3,000 men and women on the roof watching while Samson performed. Then Samson called to the Lord, saying, O Lord God, remember me. I pray, strengthen me. I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two metal pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on his right and the other on his left. One on the right, one on the left. Then Samson said, let me die, with the Philistines. And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the Lord and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life. And his brothers and all his father's household came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zora, tomb of his father Manoah. He had judged Israel 20 years. He was a mighty judge. He just had a situation where he liked women a little too much. And not good women. He liked the girl that was around the way. He liked the girl that was in her, well, we ain't gonna go there. He just liked the wrong kind of woman. Let's just put it that way. And, you know, just to go back and get an overview of Samson, you know, his mom was barren, and God blessed her with a child. You know, and all God asked of her, again, a vow, no, don't drink, don't do anything, don't eat, don't drink of anything, don't drink any wine. That means you can't even have grape juice. You can't have anything until after this baby's born. And then you shall not put a razor on his head. And he should not drink strong drink. We don't know. It never said that Samson went out of his Nazarite belief. He just liked women. And then it goes on to say, Manoah did not know he was the angel of the Lord. How many of our ordinary encounters are actually appointments with God's heavenly ambassadors? We will never know this side of heaven. That is one reason why we must treat every encounter as a divine appointment. You never know who you're meeting out there, that you might be meeting an angel underwear. That's why you should be kind wherever you go. You should treat everybody the way you want to be treated. And as we continue in our word this morning, as some more life lessons, if the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted the burnt offering. You know, common sense stuff. You know, and it goes on to say his father and his mother didn't know when he gave him unclean honey. Samson's desire for a Philistine wife clearly transgressed God's law. Yet God used even his disobedience for the good of his people. Know, however, that Samson himself never received a blessing for rebellious choice. Never did. Samson had to deal with so much, lost his eyesight because he could not follow God. We have to be careful that we don't allow ourselves to get so worldly caught up that we forget to be godly caught up, that we forget to do what we say when we talk with God. This is all I have this morning. We're going to be maybe a couple of minutes over as we get a prayer in and a life lesson this morning from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. Just a word of encouragement for you all this morning from our sister in Christ. And our word of encouragement for yesterday was this. God is a way maker. He made a way for Samson, did he? Just know that the God you serve is a way maker. He'll make a way to get it done, fix it, shift it, turn it, even when there doesn't seem to be a way. Get into agreement with God today that you are going to serve him, maintain faith in him, and wait on him, because his blessings are always worth the wait and always right on time. Can y'all say amen right there? Woo! Thank you, Jesus. And her word for this morning is, I believe, a word from God just for me. It is my favorite scripture for today. Good morning. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go, Joshua 1:9. Have a blessed Sunday. And I say to you this morning, family, have a blessed Sunday. God is in charge of everything. We are his and he is ours. And our word for this morning as we pray out, always, if you have to go, may the Lord watch between me and thee. While we're absent one from each other, in Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours today and always. Be blessed. But a prayer as we work our way out, and just a thought to keep you for this week and for today. And the word for yesterday is each holy act, coming out of Hebrews 12:14. Pursue peace with everyone and the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Holy God, you are the great peacemaker. Everything you do is shown in kindness and compassion. Your ways are perfect and your character is unmatched. Lord, I want to be just like you, reflecting your goodness to all who look at my life. May I live my life in purity of purpose, walking hand in hand with you down the path of love that leads to your kingdom. When I am tempted to brush off grudges or offense as being justified, remind me that the pursuit of peace is your better way. I don't want to live in the twisted ways of self-righteousness. As I align myself with your character, I find that humility is the key to living a life of your kind, of laid down love that puts others' well-being above its own. What a way to live. Give me grace to be like you, Jesus. It's what I want. Again, we got to be careful about. We don't want to die on the cross because Jesus already hung in there. I spoke about this yesterday with my friend, and I told her, I said, you know, so many times we want to tell people, oh, you hang in there, girl. Or hang in there, man. Hang in there. We don't have to hang anymore. Jesus already did that for us. All we have to do is have faith. Hallelujah. And this is a word to think about today. What does holiness look like in your life? And our last word for this morning, and then it is a wrap. It will be done. Ooh. The hardest word. God's will be done. It will be done. And it says this, I also persevered in the work on this wall. This is Nehemiah. And we acquired no land. And all my servants were gathered there for the work. Nehemiah 5:6. All sufficient ones, fill me with the courage of your love that enables endurance to follow through on what I have to do. Sometimes it seems like too much when the work is never ending and the demands are great. Give me the persistence I need to do what I can and the grace to let go of what I can't. I know that as I work day by day, projects will be finished. Other things are harder to measure. But let your grace remain the same. I know that if I will not give up, what needs to get done will be accomplished in a go, go, go world with tons of distractions. The extremes feel personified. I ask for your grace to be faithful in my commitment and to be as diligent in letting myself rest at the end of the day. Whoa. Whew, I need your help in this, Lord. And the question becomes, and I can honestly say it's a word for me again, are you feeling the pressure of work that seems never ending? Yes, I am. We all go through, but understand again, God will not bring us to what he won't bring us to. So whatever it is, know that God is with you, and you will get what you need to get done. God will help you. All you have to do is get up and get moving. Thank you so much for listening in this morning, family. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And as always, find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. Don't go just anywhere. If they don't bring a Bible out, as my friend, Pastor Fred, says, get your Bible. If they don't say get your Bible, do you have a Bible? Bring a Bible. Then you need to take your Bible and keep it moving, because that is not the place for you. Thank you so much, family. Have a blessed day. It is a wrap. It's time to go to work. Who do you work for? You work for God. Thank you, family. I appreciate you. I don't know if there's anybody that had a word. If you are still on this morning, push the number one. If not, have a great day, and we will be back together. God's will, God willing, on tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. And I got a quick word before we wrap up this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, my sister.
Praise the Lord. The word that I have on today is the word that I hear the Holy Spirit speak to me when things are coming our way. Sometimes we have obstacles that come our way, and we forget to put on our full armor of God and have that faith shield before us to, hallelujah, protect us from all those different fiery darts that the enemy is throwing our way. So the Father who art in heaven is always God. And the word, hallelujah, from the Holy Ghost on today is to have peace. Because I heard the Holy Spirit say, peace, pressed, believe by faith. And God said that he would give us peace. We seek it, we search for it, we knock for it, and we speak it. But do we receive it? Sometimes we don't receive the peace that God tries to put us in because our mind is so at thought. And we know that his thoughts are higher than ours. So our thoughts are so much on the situation that is before us that we forget to receive the peace of God. The word of God says in John 14:27, peace I give you, peace I give unto you, peace that the world can't give. Let not your heart be troubled, let it not be afraid. And as, hallelujah, God gives you peace, and you press in his peace, and you press in the time of a situation. You press. You continue to press. And as you press, you're pushing. You're pushing, because that's another word in the definition of press, that you push so that you can birth out what God has given you. And as you birth out, you believe. You believe in your Father who art in heaven, Christ Jesus, your Lord and Savior, who died on the cross and rose on the third day. And also, hallelujah, as you believe, you got to believe by faith, because God gives you faith. It's in Hebrews, hallelujah. So we thank God for his word on today. Just peace, press, believe by faith, and know that God is God. And that he is God all by himself. God bless you. Love
Amen.
You much.
God bless you as well. To presenting to some, introducing to others, Evangelist Sands and Shannon. Thank you, Evangelist. You have a blessed and wonderful day, because I already know you go to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. Hallelujah. Thank you so much,
Amen.
My sister in Christ. Have a blessed day and have a wonderful day in the presence of the Lord. But he is with you always. Be blessed. It is a wrap, family. Why? It's time to go to work. Who do we work for? We work for God. Whatever you do, do it unto the Lord. And have a great day. It's a wrap. We've already prayed our prayer. God is watching between us. We'll be back together again, his will, on tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. Be blessed, family. It's a wrap. Time to go to church.